Okay, Avodas Yisrael, Perek Shishi, to Avos. Now we mentioned Perek Shishi is not really, it's not really officially part of Pirkei Avos. There's really five Prakim in Avos. But they added the sixth Perek of Brisos, Perek Kinyan Torah, to help us to further prepare ourselves before Shavuos. Okay, so let's just read the first Mishnah for a second. Let me read you the whole first Brisa. It goes as follows. Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah. The Chachamim taught in language of the Mishnah, right? So it's not actually Mishnah. It's similar to Mishnah. Teachings of the sages similar to the Mishnah. Baruch Shebachar V'Hemu V'Mishnah Sam. Blessed are those who choose them and their teachings. Also interesting, who choose them and their teachings. Part of the idea is that it's not just about extracting the content from the one who's teaching us, but to connect to the person, right? It's not just about learning the Torah, it's about learning Torah to connect to Hashem. It's about learning Hillel and Shammai's teachings, but also connecting to Hillel and Shammai. So the opening teaching of the sixth parak is Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol ha'osek b'Torah l'shma zoch l'dvar harbe. Person who learns Torah l'shma is zocha to many things. V'lo od, in addition to those many things, el shakol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. The whole world is worthwhile for his sake alone. Nikra Reya, he's called a friend. Interesting. First thing on the list. If you learn Torah properly, you're a good friend to the world. You're Ahuv, you're beloved. Oev es hamakom, oev es habrios. He shows his love for Hashem, and he shows his love for the world. Misameach es hamakom, misameach es habrios. Umalbashto anava v'yira. He's girded in humility and awe. And the Torah prepares him, right, through his Torah study. It transforms him to become a tzaddik and a chassid, a person who's yashar, a person who's trustworthy, neman. It distances him from sin, and it brings him close to merit. People come to him for wisdom and counsel. People seek his advice. Bina ugvura. Shenamar li eitz of esushia ani bina li gvura, like the pasuk says in the 8th chapter of Mishlei. When osenes lo malchus, when a person studies Torah properly, it gives him malchus u'memshala, it gives him kingship and dominion v'chikor din, gives him the ability to analyze difficult situations very carefully u'megalin lo raze Torah. Eventually, it reveals to him secrets of Torah. V'nasa k'mayan ha'mezgaber, he becomes like a raging river. Or like a nahar that refuses to cease, right? Just endless flow of Torah. And he becomes, it makes him again, modest, erech ruach, patient, mochel al albono. He forgives insults. He's just a very humble, pleasant person to be around. And the Torah makes him great and exalts him above all things. Okay? So, a rather lengthy brisa describing the greatness of a person who studies Torah. Okay? So, we're just going to spend some time picking apart this first brisa. Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah. Okay? So, first, we go back to something that we touched on back earlier in the Sefer, earlier in our study of Pirkei Avos, back in the third parak. If you remember, we spoke about the concept of Mishnah Torah. Who remembers the concept of Mishnah Torah? Mishnah Torah means that every Torah is a double Torah. There's the Torah as it impacts our world below, and then there's the Torah at its shoresh. That's how we explain the concept of a Mishnah Torah, of a double Torah. Right? That's what we remember. We had the Mishnah, a person who's walking on the road and he's mafsik mimishnaso. He separates, right, from his learning is the Pashup shot, but there's a break in his Mishnah. In other words, there's a disconnect between Torah as it applies down below and Torah at its origin. So Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah, what does it mean? Yeratzeh ki ha'adam tzarech lilmod b'lashon ha'mishnah. A person needs to learn in the way of Mishnah, in the way of a duality. What does that mean? Ratzalomer, shei diburo nichbo le'ila v'tata. Again, this is a high level, but a person should be able that his speech should be twofold. His speech should be above and below. Shekamo shemedaber kan bezeha olam divrei Torah oiz a tefila, kamo kein yehei diburo b'olamos alyonim. First of all, to realize that the words of Torah and tefillah that you're speaking here are also being spoken on high. But there's also a way for a person to develop a way of speaking in both realms, right? I mean, I could be talking about something that happened in this world, but I also have a kavana of how I'm expressing myself in a higher realm. I'm talking about Rabbi Nachman, for example. We talk about the news. He'll talk about the news, right? He wasn't interested in the news solely as it impacted, you know, the local community in Breslan. He was interested in talking about, or Mezhvuj, he was interested in talking about, you know, how does that reflect something happening in the higher realm, in the world beyond this world. Ubevadai tzadikim b'chol dibureyim shehem medabrim b'zeha olam, heim kshurim b'diburim b'olamos ha'olyonim. When a tzaddik speaks words in this world, there's no question that his words are connected to the higher realms. And that's why the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Sichas chulen shel talmidei chachamim tzrichim limud. When you hear a Talmud Chacham say something, you have to listen very carefully. You have to analyze their words. When you're having a regular conversation with a great person, try to listen more deeply. And it's true. If you make a conscious effort to do this, however, you'll see that it's true. You'll see that when you're talking to him, you know, to chashuv people, and you listen in, you try to understand how to read between the lines, you can see that they're saying more than they're saying. So that's Aleph. Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah. Our sages taught us in the way of Mishnah, in the way of double speech, a speech that is relevant in this world, but is also tapping into higher realms. Okay, let's go further. Oh yeah, Amer, you could say further. Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah. Dinei Isa B'Zohar Kadosh. This is very interesting. The Zohar says the following. B'nei Yisrael Nimshalu LeYona. B'nei Yisrael are compared to a Yona. Kemo ha-yona, dikashahi mitzaf tzefes, himashmas shtei kolos. When a yona chirps, when a dove chirps, so it produces two different sounds. Maybe it's a high-pitched sound and like a lower sound. Right? But the Jewish people we know are compared to a yona in many places. So just like a yona is able to produce two sounds, shtei kolos, so too, Kach Yisrael kishemotzi in kolon ledivrei Torah ulitvila hu gam kein shtei kolos. So too, when a Jew davens or learns, he also is supposed to have two kolos. What does that mean? Echad lamala ve'echad lamata. Right? There's the way that I'm expressing. So I'm davening to Hashem. Right? I'm davening to Hashem for I don't know, for something in this world, for parnasa. Hashem, I need financial security. I need your help. Right? But what does that mean? What does Parnassa mean in a higher realm? Right? What does it mean? What does it mean to bring Parnassa not only upon myself, that I should get a good job, but that I should be able to be mefarnes the olamos? What does that mean? Right? Or when I ask for refua, I might be thinking about a particular pain that I have in my left arm. Right? But then there's a concept of Klal Yisrael being an entire body, the Jewish people collectively being an entire being. So if on a prat level, my left arm hurts, on a klal level, there's something called, you know, a spiritual realm that is connected to the left arm. So a Jew has to be able to not only make Torah a thing of this world, to practically inform, or tefillah, to practically request, or to thank for things of this world, but to live in two worlds at once. Echad lamala ve'echad lamata. Ki nishmasan chelek elokam mimal. Because after all, your neshama is a chelek elokam mimal. Your neshama is from a higher realm. So I mean, you are made up of two worlds. Your body is dirt. Your neshama is a piece of God. So my language, my koach hadibur, which is what makes my life, you know, alive, right? That's the defining characteristic of my humanity. So it has to somehow reflect both my neshama and my guf. So echal lamalav, echal lamata. When a person, again, thinks and davens and learns in this way, so then his Torah is also much more, it's not just you and your chavrusa, you know, handling on a machlokas in this world. It has ramifications in the higher realms. And that's what it means. That's what it means. Shanu chachamim b'lashon ha-mishnah. That's how the sixth parak begins. Our sages taught in the language of Mishnah. Our sages, talmidei chachamim, tzaddikim, are always mindful of this. Kishachachamim lomdim Torah, azai hi kileshon hamishta, echa lamala ve'echa lamata. And again, you don't have to be a super, you know, Baal Madrega to do this. Right? Obviously, there are certain tzaddikim that every word that comes out of their mouth is connected in both realms. But if you remember, you know, when we learned our shir about before Pesach, about fours and fives, right? So you remember the story with Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Premishlan, where he went to the inn with his chassidim, and he said, I want five portions of beer for the price of four. And then he said, you know, oh, Yehei Ratzon, Yehei Rava, that the whole world should recognize four for five. So he made a tefillah, he made a yichud, he made a spiritual connection, you know, to bargaining on the price of drinks while he was staying at some kretschmer in the middle of who knows where. So a tzaddik has the ability to, again, to talk about things of this world, but at the same time that it can be rooted in higher realms. Okay? So now, let's see. Rabbi Meir Omer Kola Osig B'Torah Lishma Zoche L'Dvarim Harbe. When a person learns Torah properly, so he's zoche to many things. Let's see what that means. First of all, what is Lishma? Lishma Hainu Ki Torah Hi Lashon Hora. However, first and foremost, learning Torah for its sake, Lishma, for its sake, is what does the word Torah mean? What does the word Torah actually mean? Torah is a Lashon of Hora. Torah teaches us. Torah informs us. Torah guides us. Ki hi lomedes la'adam darchei Hashem. It shows me how to be a Jew. V'saderach asher yelech ba. And the path that I should walk upon. You're not going to figure out life if you don't learn Torah. I'm not going to know what's expected of me. And therefore what? V'tzarech ha'adam lilmod b'zoa kavana. And when I learn Torah, I should ask myself, okay, well, what does this do for me? How does this teach me? How does this inform me? Right? So we just learned two pieces teaching us that every time we daven or learn, I have to be able to think about my tefillah as it impacts me right here, right now. But also, what are the implications in the higher realms? Right? So Torah Lishma means I learn that idea and I want to try to live it a little bit more. Leman yaskil asasher yase, in order to know, to have the wisdom to know what to do. So that's Aleph. Torah Lishma means Torah, as its name implies, a Torah that teaches you something. If your Torah is too theoretical, then we have a problem. Next, O Torah, hi lashon yira. Torah could also be a lashon of yira, kamo ti vareh, shetzarech lilmod lira es Hashem. Then why do I learn Torah? I learn in order to acquire greater awe of Hashem. We'll talk more about this piece coming up. So if you do this, zocha lidvarim harbe, so then you're zocha to a lot of things. What does that mean? Shidvarav hei merubim, that your words will be, again, harbe, will be merubim. In other words, you'll be able to say one thing, but it'll also mean many things. When you're in the presence of a tzaddik, and a tzaddik, you know, gives a shir, or gives advice, and then you ask, you know, let's say he was talking to five people, right? So you ask the five people afterwards, what did the tzaddik say? So one will say, wow, he was mamish talking to me. He was telling me that I have to be more careful not to speak lashon hara. Someone else is like, what? He didn't say anything about I'm telling you, that's what he was saying to me. That's what I heard. No, Yankel, what did you hear? Something totally different. No, Beryl, what did you hear? Something totally different. Each person heard something totally different. Unbelievable. How did that happen? Because when a person is speaking from a place of you know, genuine Torah, so his diburim are dvarim harbe. His words are many. Right? Hu lashon, like we explained. Hu lashon ha-mishna. Right? We spoke about this concept of Mishnah Torah. Ki ha-Torah hu lashon torim uvnei yona. Now this is one of the most interesting things I think I've ever seen in explaining the word Torah. He says that Torah is a lashon of torim uvnei yona. Right? Torim b'nei yona means what? Torim b'nei yona, when the Torah talks about different birds that can be brought as karbanos, so it talks about different types of birds, a tur and a b'nei, torim b'nei yona, right? Pigeons and, I don't know, turtle doves, right? I don't know exact doves and turtle doves. I don't know the exact difference. Dove, you know the difference between these types of birds? There's, you know, torim b'nei yona.
They're just different subspecies of pigeons.
Okay, so different types of doves and birds, right? But Torah is a lashon of torim, which is a type of Yona. And as we explained previously from the Zohar, the nature of a tor, or the nature of a Yona, is that when it chirps, it produces very different sounds. So when we study Torah, we become the type of person whose words are infused with many different things. I'll give you a simple one that you could practice. Went to a wedding last night. Valet parking. I don't love valet parking. I like parking my own car, but okay. Valet parking. Good. So the guy brought me my car at the end of the night, and I said thank you very much. I said thank you to the fellow, you know, who brought my car back, right? But I try to train myself that when I say thank you to people, I say thank you also to Hashem. Right? Now, I also really say thank you to the person. The person did me a favor. Right? This you know, fellow did me a favor. I actually did him a big favor because his cell phone fell out of his pocket into my car. And as I'm about to drive away, I found his phone in my car. I went back and I was able to give it to him. So he was very thankful to me that he didn't lose his phone last night. But I said thank you to the guy. I said thank you to this guy. Right? And I also said at the same time, thank you to Hashem. Right? Does that take away from my Bein Adam L'Chaver that I'm also thinking about Hashem? After all, thank you Hashem that my car was able to be returned to me, and, you know, and everything's fine, everything's good, wasn't stolen, I don't know. Right? A lot of things, thank you Hashem, I didn't have to, it was cold outside, you know, the car was brought right to the front. So thank you to this person, and thank you to Hashem. That's an example of Mishnah Torah, or Mishnah Tefillah, right? Of being able to say, you know, to say one thing which is two things. And that's what Hashem does also. Hashem says, Zachar v'shamur b'dibur echad. Right? Achaz dibur elokim shtayim zu shamati. Hashem said one thing, we heard two things. So we train ourselves, like the Yonah that produces multiple sounds, we try to train ourselves to what? To be a person who's living in both worlds at the same time. Kein zeha oda mashmiya shtei kolos. A person should try to be like a Yonah, who's able to say two things at once. To be ba'olam haze uva'olam elyon at the same time. And again, you don't have to be the biggest tzaddik in the world to be able to train yourself to be very much grounded in this world, but also with an eye to a place beyond this world. Okay? We said that a person who learns Torah Lishma is called an ahuv. He's called a reya, and he's called an ahuv. He's called a friend, and he's called beloved. Who is he a friend of? Who is he beloved to? Says our Rebbe, the Kashrutzer Magid, he's beloved and he's a friend of Hashem. This is a beautiful piece. He's a friend of LaHashem Yisbarach. Ki bavadai kol ha'olam lo nivra ela bishvil v'chulu. The world was created, right? Bishvil Yisrael, for the Jewish people. Bereishis bishvil Yisrael, bishvil Torah. V'nimtza aleyam ha'olam kayam. And therefore the world rests upon us. The world is upheld by us. Hashem created the world with Torah. Hashem made the world with Torah. Hashem made the world for us. Hashem then gave us the Torah. And when we study the Torah, we uphold the world. So therefore what? And through our connection to Torah, the world is upheld. So in other words, we have to see ourselves, what this Mishnah is saying. If you learn Torah properly, you are Hashem's friend. You are beloved by Hashem. You're a partner with Hashem. Why? Because you prove to the world, so to speak, that Hashem was right. Hashem was right in what sense? Hashem was right in creating the world for us. Hashem was right in using the Torah as the blueprint of the world, and then giving us the Torah and entrusting us to keep the world going. Nimsa shezeh shalom eres haTorah nikareya. When you learn Torah, you're a good friend to Hashem. Why? Ki kamo shabori yisbarach bara haolam b'Torah. Because just like Hashem created the world with Torah, kamo kein hu mekayim es haolam b'Torah. You uphold the world with Torah. So you're a real partner with Hashem. It's an amazing idea. Right? If you think about, again, Hashem, you know, took a risk. He created the world. And he created it by looking at the Torah. And he created the world on behalf of us, the Jewish people. And then he gave us the Torah. And he said, okay, now you take over. You take over. Your Torah is going to keep the world going. That's unbelievable. And then the Rebbe says something which we really need to think about. Okay, Chaver, let's be makabel the Musar. Ki miyom leidas ha'adam. Because from the time that every one of us was born, Azah yesh lo chelko b'Torah. We all have a portion a pre-programmed portion in Torah that we're supposed to achieve. And it's not just over the course of a lifetime. This is where we get ourselves into trouble. We think in broad strokes, like, you know, what am I supposed to achieve over the course of a lifetime? And then, like, I'll figure out, you know, at some point I'll try to get there. There's also a daily chelek in Torah. There's something you're supposed to receive in Torah today. Maybe you're receiving it right now. Maybe it's learning Avodas Yisrael and Pirkei Avos as we prepare for Shavuos. Right? Maybe it's another sefer you're going to pick up this afternoon. Maybe it's a chiddush you're going to have when you're, I don't know, reading the Parsha. But every single day, there's a chelek in Torah. Uvechol yom meir bo nitzos echad vechelek oso hayom mashit sarich oso hayom letaken ki lekach nivra. Every single day, there's a spark, a chelek of Torah that needs tikkun. And for that purpose, you were created. What does that mean, created? Not just created big adol, but the reason you woke up this morning is to achieve X, Y, or Z. V'chol yom hu inyan mishuna mechavero. And every day is a totally different thing. U'glal kein roi la'odim shiyasim alibo laval ya'azov yamav chas v'shalom. And therefore, a person needs to capture every day. You can't say, you know what, I have a lot of studying to do today. I'll learn extra next week. You have to learn Torah every day. V'hu shehei shokei tamid b'dvar Hashem lebal yipol davar artza, not to drop anything, not to lose one day. V'lo yiftach al yamim habayim, not to take, you know, comfort or to seek, you know, support from the days that are yet to come. Ki b'ma yasig zchaserim umi yeshalim lo, because lost days are truly, in a sense, lost days, and therefore we need to try to capture every day and do our avoda. I do this all the time. He says, even within a single day, don't push off shachris for arvis. Don't say, I have a really busy morning, you know, so I'll do it sometime later this evening. There's an avoda right now. There's something Hashem wants us to try to achieve at 10 a.m. Maybe it's learning, maybe it's not. Right? But there's an avoda. There's a morning. There's an evening, right? We don't say Shema once a day. We say Shema to get us to set the tone for the morning. We say Shema at night to set the tone for the night. So don't push off from Shachris to Arvis v'chein lehefech. And don't push off from Arvis l'Shachris. Oh, I'm so tired. I'll do it tomorrow. First of all, Chas v'Shalom, no one ever knows if there'll be a tomorrow. And second of all, that maybe that's the avoda for right now. Maybe this is your chelek in Torah that's being offered to you now. Maybe it won't be available to you tomorrow. Ki kol echad b'fnei atzmo hu inyan l'atzmo. A nice line. You like that line? Ki kol echa bifnei atzmo hu inyan la'atzmo. Because each thing is its own thing. V'lachein min haroi shelo ya'azov af sha'achas mi'avodas Hashem yisbarach laval yehi chaser shum davar. Again, don't be stressed out by this. The Rebbe is not saying that every second of your life has to be, you know, actively involved in avodas Hashem in the way that we're learning right now, right? But there's things that I'm meant to accomplish every day. And I shouldn't try to push those things off for another day, because another day is a different world. There's different responsibilities on a different day. And therefore, he says, Nachzor l'inyaneinu, let's come back to our point, Nikra Reya v'ahuv. You are called a friend, and you are called beloved. Shal yedei zeh, shemevi hashpos el ha'olamos, by being a person who partners with Hashem to keep the Torah going, proving that Hashem's, you know, goal for creation is being upheld, mekayimin haim, right? You're upholding the world. So a person who keeps the worlds going is very beloved. He's responsible for keeping the world strong. He brings the hashpah upon the world. He's a partner with Hashem in a genuine way. And he understands the importance of each day's avoda. Okay? He says in a similar thing, the next line of the Braisa, Oivis Hamakom, Oivis Abrios, Ki Bezeshu Lomed, Mevi Hashpah Lechola Olam Venlinevraim. By learning Torah properly, he brings down Shefa upon the world and upon its inhabitants, all its creations. V'nimtza oev es habrios, and in doing so, he shows love to others. He brings good things upon others through his connection to Torah. V'gam evi ha'aras Hashem Yisbarach b'libam, l'is'or libam la'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. And when he learns Torah, his chavrusa is inspired to learn more. Right? His neighbor is inspired to learn more. He brings a ha'ara of Hashem Yisbarach into the heart. He awakens the hearts of others to serve Hashem, uveze oev es habakom. And by recruiting people for Hashem's team, that's his expression of showing love to Hashem. So he brings goodness upon people, and by inspiring people, he shows love for Hashem. Okay? Now, have a look at this next one. Misameach es hamakom, misameach es habrios. Right? When we think about the word misameach, you know, in my mind, the word misameach is associated with simchas chasan v'kala. Right? To be misameach chasan, misameach kala. Right? What a special thing, like the Gemara describes at the beginning of Maseches Brachos. Right? The person who's misameach chasan v'kala is zochet also to many things. So he's misameach es hamakom, misameach es habrios. When you learn Torah lishma, you cause joy to Hashem and to people. Ki adua shekol os hu olam le'atzmo. Every letter of Torah, chavra, is its own world. U'kishemechaber shnei osios. And when you bring two letters together, yachad, you unite them. V'nasa teva, and you make them into a word, hu yichud. When you take an aleph and a beis, and there's no longer just an aleph and a beis separately, but you put them together, it's an av, it's a father. That's an unbelievable thing. You made a yichud, you made a shidduch. That's what we call mazmute chasan v'kala. It's like the Gemara in Chagiga describes, the rejoicing, mazmute means the simcha. The simcha is chasan v'kala. V'nimsa kishmedaber divrei Torah utfila. So when you start to thread together letters and words and concepts, you're making shidduchim. You're making a wedding. Let's think about this mashal because it's very fitting on Shavuos, the wedding of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're mechaber ha'osios, when you tie together letters, yachad, osa yichud gadol, you make a tremendous yichud. It's a great simcha. Kefi godol ha'teva, ken godol ha'yichud. The more letters you put together, the bigger the word, the bigger the simcha, the bigger the yichud. The more concepts you connect, the better, in a sense, right? The more you show the oneness of Torah, you show the yichud Hashem within the concepts of Torah. V'zo simcha gadola b'chol ha'olamos kiviyachol ke'ein simchas nesuin. Why is a wedding so special? Why is a wedding so celebratory? Why is it so exciting? Why is there such an energy? Because there's a yichud that's taking place. There's a unification that's taking place. Right? There are two things that are supposed to be together that happen to be apart, which are getting together again. Namely, these two halves of the neshama, which are coming together in Simchas Chasan V'Kala, the yichud of Chasan and Kala. Ki bevadai bar shekol inyanei olam haza einam kiim lidugma ulamashol litzayir mehem hanhagos olam elyon. Because everything that happens in this world, again, is a reflection of something that's happening in a higher realm. So therefore, if you've been to a wedding, and you saw how everyone was so excited for the chasan and kala, right? And you said, wow, what a simcha. Look how much time and effort and money and emotional energy is put into this celebration. How much more so, infinitely more so, yesh yichud v'simcha yoser gedola ad ein sof ba'olam ha'elyon. Yichud ruchani. When there's a yichud, when two physical human beings get together, obviously it's a unification of souls also, when chasan and kala marry. But all the more so, when it's just a soulful unification. When it's just letters coming together, when it's just tefillah, when it's just Torah, right? When it's just spiritual connections being forged and formed, einenu musag zulas Hashem levado. We can't even imagine what such a thing is, right? The simcha in Shemayim, the simcha down here, the simcha chasam v'kala, the greatest wedding you've ever been to, the greatest joy you ever felt at a wedding is only a fraction of the simcha of the divine wedding between us and Hashem. When the Rebbe is speaking by the Tish, and he's connecting beautiful ideas, and the souls of those people standing at the Tish are connecting to the Rebbe, and he's medabik, mechaber, rucha berucha, neshama ben neshama, and the people there are connected to each other, and there's this awesome storm of spirituality that is coming together. Mamish and Shemaim, it's such a simcha. They're partying. It's a huge wedding. And as the tzaddik pulls together spiritual concepts below, the olamos on high are connecting to each other. Because all of the worlds, the lower worlds, are like a grain of or like a mustard seed. Right? Like a tiny little nothing compared to a higher world. So if you think about, you know, how many people, I was at a big wedding, there were 500 people there, there was a 20-piece orchestra, and there were 13 different, you know, courses they served throughout the meal, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you like zoom out a little bit, right? literally, like, zoom out, like, look at that wedding, right, from, like, from outer space, and, like, try to zoom back in and then zoom out, and then, like, keep zooming out to higher olamos. It's nothing. But the simcha, right, it gives us just a taste of what the simcha must be like in the olam elyon. So shvuas, when a Jew stays up all night, shvuas, right, the simcha of chasen and kala, of learning Torah, of davening, going to mikvah if you're able to, whatever it is. Whatever we're doing in some microcosmic way down below is taking place much more in the higher realms. Nimsa keneged davar hakatan shebezeha olam, inyano ba'olam elyon yoser gadol v'rachav. Whatever is happening in this world in some small form, in the higher world is much more expansive. And he gives a mashal. He gives an interesting mashal. He says, l'mashal, you can compare it, kisha'os an eagle midavar katan. Imagine you make a circle, right, out of something small. You make a little circle, yeah? Kisha'os an eagle midavar katan. Umoshchin mimenu kitzvos eilach ve'eilach. The example I was thinking of in preparing this piece, I thought of a person who's chewing on a piece of gum. I know it's a weird mashal, right? But really what's happening is he's taking this little bit of gum in his mouth, and then he starts to expand it outwards. He puts a little pressure on this one point, right? As he's blowing a bubble with this piece of gum, right? Or take a little clump of dough. Yeah, a little round piece of dough, right? You ever watch the pizza guy as he starts to do like this, you know, and all of a sudden it just gets wider and wider and wider and wider, right? Or a person who's blowing a bubble, right? It starts off as just like a little circle, and all of a sudden it starts to expand and expand and expand and expand. So Lamashal says the Kashas HaMagid, that's what's happening. When we have a simcha down below, as you know, if you were to just be able to see that simcha from a higher perspective, right? So as you kind of go up through the olamos, it just widens out. It widens out. It widens out. Right? So we're seeing sort of this filtered, this funneled, you know, expression of simcha down below. But if we could see it as it manifests in the higher realms, it would be so much bigger. So you take a small circle, he says, and then you start to draw out the sides in each direction. You start to pull the circle apart. You start to, expand the pizza dough. Lefias pashtusam kein gadlam. As it expands, right, the circumference of the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Afsha emtsausam hukatan. Even though it started from a small middle point. Venimsa kishaosim yichud lamata. And therefore, when we make a yichud down below, when we make some type of small, what appears to us to be a small connection down below, yeah? Af ba. Sorry, I lost my place. If you make a small yichud, right? Let's say you have a celebration, 100 people. If you get together with 100 people to learn on Shavuos night, you go to shul and there's 100 people learning there. Okay, very nice. Big simcha. You go to a wedding, 100 people. By some standards, some would say that's a small wedding. Others would say it's a big wedding, right? Imagine, but now zoom out. And try to see that celebration as it exists in higher olamos. We're talking about infinite angels celebrating in the higher realms. So says the Mishnah, when you learn Torah Lishma, you could be sitting by yourself, reading a Mishnah, you know, and with a little smile on your face. But in the higher realms, it's mamish, a wedding. And therefore, you're misameach hasamakom, you give joy to Hashem, you're misameach hasabrios, because you make a tremendous simcha take place in the higher realms. Okay, so what an amazing idea to realize that again, every bit of joy that we feel in this world is really just a small taste of the celebration that's taking place on high. Okay, all right, Chava, let's do two more little pieces. This one's very important. I'm happy to see that the Kashas HaMagid says this. I've seen this idea in later Svarim, but I'm happy that he says it here. When you learn Torah Lishma, it makes you humble, right? Or it's an expression of a person who is learning Torah Lishma. Malbashto anava v'yira. Right? His levush is humility and awe. Ki al yedei ha-Torah makir romes ha-boreas barach. This is so important. There's some people, the more Torah they learn, the more full of themselves they become. There are other people, the more Torah they learn, the more humbled they become, because they start to realize how big Torah is and how big Hashem is. So says the Mishnah, says the Braisa here in Pirkei Avos in the sixth parak, Parakinyan Torah. When a person learns Torah, al yedei haTorah, makir romas habor yisbarach. When you learn Torah, balo levush haanava. So automatically he comes to what? He comes to wear a garment of humility. Because it's not like, oh, well, now I finished a Masechta, so I'm a big shot. The more I learn, the more I realize, wow, there's so much more Torah to know. And this, that Hashem is infinite. And I start to feel, I start to have a greater sense of that infinity. Because if you really see how great and how awesome this king is, how can you not be humbled before him? If you live in the presence of Hashem, how could you not walk around with a real sense of humility? How do you become a Baal Gaiva by learning Torah? It doesn't make any sense. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. When you learn Torah, it should make you humble because you realize, wow, I feel humbled by the opportunity that Hashem is giving me a peek into His life, but I don't really know anything about Hashem. Ki mi shelo yada romus habore eni yodea heich likana lefanav. Because if I don't learn Torah, if I don't taste that infinity, if I hide in the world of short-lived pleasures, if I live in a world of finite things, so then it's easy to sometimes think I'm a big shot. But when I experience and I study the greatness of Hashem, right, then I become humbled. Because if you don't know, he says, the Rome was Hashem, if you don't know the grandeur of Hashem, so then how could you be humble before Hashem? The more I know, the more humble I should become. And then he says something again that I've seen in later Sfarim, but I'm happy to see Kajet Tzermaget says it explicitly. Kamo Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. Moshe is the perfect example of this. Why? Why? Shuhu Hayamakir B'yoseh Romus Haborius Barach. You would think Moshe could have been the biggest Baal Gaiva, and rightfully so. He knew the most about God. He had unique experiences on Har Sinai. No, the opposite. Because Moshe knew Hashem the best, Mashalohi Sigua Adam Ve'olam, that which no other human being ever grasped on his level, Galal Kein Ksiv Aish Moshe Adam Ma'od. That's precisely the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble. Because the more you know Hashem, the more humbled you become before Hashem. The more humbled you become before Hashem. And then Hashem gives you access to things, but you use them in a way to help Hashem, to serve Hashem. What do I mean by that? It says, Machshartel Yosadi Chasid Yashar V'Neman. Torah transforms a person to be a tzaddik and a chasid and a yashar and a neman. L'chora midos neman mitzuya etzel kol adam. Why is neman, why is trustworthy, a midah that's unique to a person who studies Torah lishma? If you have a relationship with your, I don't know, employee or your employer, hopefully there's ne'amanis there as well. You're ne'aman to do your job, he's ne'aman to give you your paycheck, whatever it may be. Again, we're hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu about Moshe, who had said, Bechol Beisi ne'aman, who Moshe is the most ne'aman. You know why? Listen why. Why is Moshe so trustworthy? L'mashal, Misha o'avo hasar bi'oser.
If the person is very close to the king might give him his signet ring in order to do as he desires. It's Haman being empowered by Achashverosh, you know, to do what he wants. And the city of Shushan is crying because they know that Haman's going to use the ring to do horrible things. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu lo kein asa. Moshe Rabbeinu was also given HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ring, so to speak. But he didn't misuse it. Afshahaya chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu biyado hu emes. The chosem, the seal, the signet ring, so to speak, of Hashem is emes, as the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Nunhei, I believe. And we know that Moshe, Toras Moshe, is Moshe emes v'soraso emes. Toras emes haisa b'fihu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had the emes. And therefore he, so to speak, had Hashem's ring in his hand to do what he wants, but he never abused it. He only did in this world and in the higher world what Hashem wanted him to do. Moshe Rabbeinu never tried to do something that was against Ratzon Hashem. So to be a person who's empowered in that way, and at the same time, to be able to what? To use that power, to use that authority in the right way, is a very, very chashuv thing. Okay, last but not least, we'll end with this one. The Mishnah said that a person who studies Torah Lishma, people will benefit from his advice and from his counsel. Chevra, giving advice is a hard thing. Sometimes a person gives advice, you don't know if your advice is good advice. I once saw the Sfas Emes said that a person shouldn't give advice until they know the entire Shulchan Aruch forwards and backwards. Why? Because if you don't know every bit of the Shulchan Aruch, you know, well, so maybe your advice is against the halacha. Okay, so that's a scary idea. So your friend comes and says, like, you know, you have any advice? I can't give you advice. I haven't finished mastering the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if my advice is against the Torah, against halacha. Okay. But when we give advice, we daven, we hope that we give the proper advice. A person who learns Torah Lishma, his advice is going to be successful advice. Ratzalomer. Ki kesha adam nosin eitza. When a person gives advice, a dain enenu yodeya be'im yatzliach ba. He doesn't know if his advice is going to be good. Aval kesha tzadik miyaitz. And that's why we go to tzadikim, to get their advice. When a tzadik gives advice, he eitza, it's not only advice, but it's tushia as well. It's tushia gufa. Now, pashapshat in the word tushia means, you know, it's counsel, right? It's advice, which is good advice. But the way he explains it here, tushia, he says, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim la'atzaso asher yatz. The tzaddik, because of his position, and because of his connection to Torah, Hashem agrees to his advice, u'bavada yatzliach ba. And Hashem makes sure that the advice comes true. Right? How did tzaddikim make promises and say all sorts of things and give advice that sometimes is counterintuitive and see success? Because of their connection to Torah and to Hashem, Hashem ensures that their advice will come true. And he says that's what the word tushia also implies. He eitza v'sushia lashon Yeshua. Shenemar li eitza v'sushia. His advice is not only wise counsel, but tushia, he says, is a lashon of Yeshua. His advice will actually bring about what? Will bring about salvation. Okay, so all of these madregos, again, are found by the person who studies Torah Lishma. But let's not forget, first and foremost, he told us, what is Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma means learning Torah in order to be informed by Torah, right? To acquire Yirat Shamayim. To be like a person who lives, again, firmly planted in this world, but who lives in a world of Mishnah Torah, who never forgets that there are higher worlds at the same time. And he becomes a friend to Hashem, and he becomes a friend to humanity. Hashem says, I created the world with Torah, you uphold the world with Torah. And he's constantly making yichudim. And he may not realize that when he makes a small connection in Torah, it's a small celebration. Down here, it's a small celebration. Follow the trail up to Shemayim, you'll see it's a big celebration. And the more we learn, the more humble we should become. And the proof, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu, who knew the most, and at the same time was the most humble. We should use our Torah powers in the right way, like Moshe, who had the signet ring, but never used it to rebel against Hashem, but only to further Hashem's desire. And then Hashem will bless us that when we give good advice, it'll bring salvation to the person who we're advising, and hopefully to the whole world. All right? Okay.
Thank you, Rav.
Shreino.